This is the Voice of America, broadcasting throughout the world with continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 12, man's second landing on the moon. Astronauts Charles Pete Conrad and Alan Bean have been on the lunar surface for 31 hours and 6 minutes, since their touchdown on Wednesday at 6 hours 54 GMT, in a precise landing that placed them in the Sea of Storms. The astronauts have completed 2 highly successful walks on the lunar surface, deploying a small scientific observatory, retrieving parts from the Surveyor 3 instrument craft, and generally testing man's ability to work in the lunar environment. Now we come to another critical phase of this second lunar journey, as the astronauts prepare to fire their ascent engine in about 25 minutes from now and leave the moon's surface to rendezvous with the mother spaceship Yankee Clipper, circling 100 kilometers above them. We're reporting from the Voice of America's Apollo News Center in Washington, the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, and the Sea of Storms on the Moon. I would like to identify our reporting team for this important phase of the Apollo 12 mission. I'm Norman Guerin at the Apollo 12 News Desk in Washington. Our guest expert from NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, William Land, Apollo Missions Engineer. Correspondent Rhett Turner is at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston and will keep us up to date with mission control. And for a report on preparations for the firing of the Intrepid's ascent engine, let's call in Rhett Turner in Houston.
Well, the astronauts completed their second exploration of the moon some 7 hours ago, and since that time they've been quite active inside the lunar module Intrepid with the hatch closed, preparing for this liftoff and rendezvous with Yankee Clipper and Dick Gordon in orbit above. The first thing they did after they cleaned up the interior of the spacecraft, tried to get all the moon dust off of their suits, was to have a meal because they hadn't eaten in some time. And then they began the systems checks, the status of all of the powered equipment inside the lunar module, the abort guidance system, that's the emergency navigation instrument, the primary guidance instrument. This abort guidance system had been turned off during the 32-hour stay on the moon. There were special lunar surface sightings out the windows, the checks of the gyroscope system on the main guidance and navigation system called the PINGS. There were checks of the small rocket thrusters, the reaction control system. And this has taken up all of the time up to this point. Liftoff from the moon will come about a half hour from now, not quite a half hour from now, some 20 minutes from now, as they are counting down. At this moment, all is quiet in mission control. The astronauts, Pete Conrad and Al Bean, are not talking to the Earth. They are inside the spacecraft going through such things as checking on an ascent propulsion system burn card. This is some of the instructions they must follow during the ascent from the moon. This will be partially done automatically with computer-driven guidance system. Here's Apollo Control.
1 hour is 42 minutes now into the flight. We're 22 minutes away from the time of ignition. After ignition, Conrad confirms that the limb is stable and altitude is increasing. Visual cues are prime for the first 15 seconds. After pitch over is completed, the crew will be able to make their first solid checks on the primary guidance and navigation system's performance. At liftoff plus 4 minutes, Conrad yaws Intrepid 20 degrees right to ensure a continuing S-band lock. When time from ignition reaches approximately 6 minutes 15 seconds, the onboard displays are changed from velocity and altitude numbers to velocity to be gained. You'll probably hear Al Bean calling out some of these numbers. Engine shutdown monitoring is performed on board simply by observing the velocity to be gained display. We're at 21 minutes now away from time of ignition.
Roger, Intrepid.
There was a call from Mission Control to Intrepid, and you heard John McLeish in Mission Control reviewing briefly some of the things which will occur during
Intrepid,
the ascent.
Houston looks good.
We'll report more to you from Houston in just a few moments.
We'll return to Houston for Rhett Turner's reports, but first let's go to the Voice of America newsroom for a late summary of news.
Man's second team of moon explorers has finished its work and is ready to start the long journey home. Apollo 12 astronauts Charles Pete Conrad and Alan Bean will blast off in their lunar shuttlecraft Intrepid just minutes from now. They plan to dock 3.5 hours later with the Apollo command ship Yankee Clipper, piloted in lunar orbit by Richard Gordon. Reunited, the three men will set course for home. A Nigerian Airways plane crashed near Lagos on a scheduled flight from London. First reports said there may have been as many as 85 persons aboard. Rescue parties set out immediately for the crash area 11 miles from Lagos. Airline officials say they lost contact with the plane 15 minutes before its scheduled landing time at Ikeja Airport. Correspondent Fred Brown reports from Lagos that there were no survivors. London reports said many of those aboard the crashed plane were Nigerian Airways personnel returning to Nigeria. The Austrian Defense Ministry reports that a Polish airliner has been hijacked to Austria. The announcement said the plane, carrying an unknown number of passengers, bypassed its original destination of Bratislava and crossed into Austrian airspace. On October 19th, two East Germans ordered the pilot of an airliner bound from Warsaw to Brussels to bypass the East Berlin airport and land at Tegel in West Berlin's French sector. The two men went on trial before a French civilian court in West Berlin today. They said they hijacked the plane because they were in trouble with communist officials for opposing the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia last year. The 43rd session of the Vietnam talks is underway in Paris, and American Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge told newsmen before the session he would renew the long-standing U.S. offer to discuss the release of prisoners. North Vietnamese delegate Xuan Thuy denied that any private talks have taken place between the United States and North Vietnam since the death of President Ho Chi Minh. He also said there have been no such talks since President Nixon's November 3rd speech on Vietnam. The State Department has also indicated there have been no such talks, although there have been contacts through third country representatives. Japanese Premier Isaku Sato meets with President Nixon again today at the White House for the second round of talks. Wednesday's meeting was devoted to the Okinawa issue and the terms on which the United States would be willing to return the island to Japanese control. The two leaders will discuss economic matters today, the main item being the $1,000 million trade deficit in U.S. trade with Japan. Chile's armed forces are on a state of alert in Santiago province, which includes the capital. President Eduardo Frei issued the alert order at the end of a meeting with military and police chiefs. He said in a statement that he had confidence in the loyalty of the armed forces and was determined to crush any attempt to subvert the government. North Vietnamese artillery units fired at South Vietnamese troop positions in the Bu Prang area of the highlands near the Cambodian border, and two ground encounters were reported. South Vietnam reports light casualties among its troops and moderate losses among the enemy troops. Meanwhile, the weekly casualty report shows increased losses, with communist deaths just over 3,000. South Vietnam lost 497. American losses were 113. And about 2,500 United States Marines, the last of the 3rd Marine Division, begin to leave today. The division has been in Vietnam for nearly 5 years. The second working session of the Strategic Arms Limitations talks between the United States and the Soviet Union got underway in Helsinki this morning. The session, which is meeting at the Soviet embassy this time, has been described as preliminary and exploratory. Each nation is seeking a basis for future talks that could lead to an agreement to limit nuclear and strategic weapons. The United States and Pakistan signed an agreement in Rawalpindi to provide $20 million worth of American fertilizer to Pakistani farmers. Afghanistan's premier designate, Nur Ahmad Etemadi, told Parliament his government favors improved education and more planning for economic development. In a policy statement, he also proposed administrative reforms, modernization of cities, and more attention to the provinces. The General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, GATT, has urged its members to begin preparations for a new round of tariff cuts and trade liberalization moves. Director Oliver Long said the trade group has produced a high degree of order and stability in trade relations, and that trade between nations increased 121% in the decade beginning in 1958. The free market price of gold fell below $37, the lowest in almost 2 years, as selling increased in London, Zurich, and Paris. New confidence in European currencies is given as the reason. British Defense Secretary Dennis Healey says Roman Catholic and Protestant extremists will be excluded from joining the new Ulster Police Force being formed to replace Northern Ireland's Protestant-dominated Special Reserve Police. The new force will not be used for riot duties in urban areas. President Nixon's Director of Communications, Herbert Klein, told a New York meeting of radio and television executives that the administration has no intention of interfering with news presentation. He said Vice President Spiro Agnew recently raised the question of journalistic objectivity because the general public questions the credibility of the news media. Congress has approved a major change in the draft law. It will permit the administration to set up a lottery system next year, and Secretary of Defense Melvin Laird says the plan is to draft only 19-year-olds the following year. Friday's vote on the confirmation of Judge Clement Haynsworth to the Supreme Court is expected to be close. Two leading Republicans announced Wednesday they will split their votes, with Senator George Aiken of Vermont in favor and Senator John Williams of Delaware opposed. An airliner with 14 persons aboard crashed into a mountainside during a rainstorm near Glen Falls, New York, on a flight from Albany. First reports said there were no survivors. That's the news. John Cooley reporting.
This is the Voice of America's continuous coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. Here is a list of meter bands for our listeners.
This program is being broadcast on the following meter bands to Europe, the 19, 25, 31, 41, 49 meter bands shortwave, also on the 75 meter band shortwave, and on 1734 meters longwave. To Latin America on the 19, 25, 31, and 49 meter band shortwave. To Africa on the 19, 31, 41, and 49 meter bands. To the Middle East on 16, 19, 31, and 41 meter bands shortwave. To South Asia on the 19, 25, and 41. And to East Asia and the Pacific on the 19, 25, 31, 41, and 49-meter band shortwave.
From the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston and from our VOA News Center here in Washington, the Voice of America is bringing you live coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. When the Intrepid's ascent engine fires for some 7 minutes and 11 seconds, it will have a thrust of about 3,500 pounds, or 1,600 kilograms. This powered ascent will be in two stages. First, vertical ascent in order to clear the terrain, and then the orbital insertion phase when the lunar module pitches over as it reaches a height of about 300 feet, or about 80 meters. At this point, the lunar craft will be placed in an orbit of 9 by 45 nautical miles, 17 by 87 kilometers. After coasting in this orbit, the RCS thrusters will be fired to begin CSI, concentric sequence initiation, changing to a near-circular orbit, bringing Intrepid ever closer to the command module Yankee Clipper. After a coasting period in this orbit, we come to TPI, the terminal phase initiation, changing Intrepid's orbit once again, still catching up with Yankee Clipper. After this TPI maneuver and a coast period, the Intrepid should be within a range of about 2 kilometers from Yankee Clipper. Then braking maneuvers, if they're necessary, closing in for rendezvous, and docking. Now that's the general sequence of events. Bill Land and Rhett Turner will fill us in on the fine points of these maneuvers and what they mean. Now to correspondent Turner in Houston at the Manned Spacecraft Center.
We're 10 minutes away from liftoff. We just got a report from Mission Control. The count is continuing. This will come some 3 minutes after the spacecraft had been in space for 142 hours. The time for liftoff has slowly been refined according to the refinements made necessary by rocket burns on the command module overhead. Dick Gordon did perform a plane change yesterday during the time that the lunar module was on the surface. And during that time, the Earth has been carefully tracking the command module, and its position in space is the vital factor which dictates when Intrepid lifts off the surface, because the object is to rendezvous with the command module Yankee Clipper at an appropriate spot in space, and a space to which the Intrepid can maneuver. Norman just reported to you some of the events which will occur, the liftoff and the several vital points throughout the next several-hour period that must be passed, the maneuvers which must be accomplished in order to achieve rendezvous. The time, 8 minutes and 20 seconds now until liftoff. We're watching a countdown clock along with the flight controllers in Mission Control. The lunar module is virtually overhead. In fact, it's just about overhead when the liftoff occurs. This just happens to be the sequence of events in this unusual orbital rendezvous mode that's necessary. We're listening to
Fido reports. We have high-speed data coming in from all three sites. We're at 141 hours, 56 minutes. 7 minutes, 54 seconds away from liftoff at this time.
All three of the tracking sites on Earth, at Honeysuckle Creek in Australia, at Madrid in Spain, and at the Goldstone, California desert tracking site in the Mojave Desert, the western part of the United States. The Earth is in a position right at the moment at which all three of these tracking stations can be watching. And high-speed data, that remark refers to the fact that they are capable, all of these sites are capable of receiving the utmost in telemetry information from the Yankee Clipper and from the lunar module Intrepid all at the same time. This is what's needed, and the Mission Control is full of its normal complement of flight directors, flight controllers, watching right now. Jerry Griffin, it appears, it's a little difficult to tell who is in the prime flight director's seats. We can clearly identify the supervisor of all flight direction, Gene Kranz, sitting there quietly watching. Pete Franks, it looks to me, is watching this one very carefully. He's one of the chief flight directors. And then down in the trench, all of the flight dynamics and guidance officers are watching carefully. Their job will begin at liftoff.
Rhett Turner, we have Bill Land with us, and I would like to ask a question, perhaps start a conversation among the three of us. The ascent engine is one full throttle blast as opposed to the controlled throttle of the descent engine. Is that correct?
That's right, Norm. The reason for that is that we don't need the throttle ability since we're taking off from the surface rather than landing on it. In fact, you can look at it just as a launch from Earth. We don't have throttleable engines on our launch vehicles that we use to put the entire spacecraft into Earth orbit or to inject it toward the Moon. Nor do we have a throttleable engine on the service propulsion system, which sends the spacecraft back to Earth. So we're falling in that same category here, where we don't need throttle ability, only on the landing. I might mention that you described the engine and said that the thrust was 3,500 pounds, and that's correct. The spacecraft at launch will weigh just a little over 10,000 pounds, but that's Earth weight. So really, on the moon, it weighs less than 2,000 pounds, and we have a very good performance factor there.
And, of course, it's much lighter than when it performed. It started to perform its mission to go to the moon.
Well, we're talking now, of course, about the ascent stage, which separates from the descent stage. The entire limb that landed on the moon weighed about 15,000 pounds at the time it landed. It weighed about 33,000 pounds when it started its initial landing maneuver, burning away about 18,000 pounds of fuel. However, 5,000 pounds of the total 15,000 pounds, if you're following me now, that is currently on the moon, will be left there in the form of the descent stage that acts as a launching platform.
Rhett Turner, we're getting pretty near to this ascent maneuver. What do you have from Houston?
We're now 4 minutes and 30 seconds away from ignition time. The count is continuing. The astronauts apparently are ready to go. We've heard very little transmission from the spacecraft in the last few minutes. Just countdown hacks coming from Mission Control.
I was going to ask, Rhett, I hadn't heard a go for liftoff yet, but I suppose it must have been given by this time.
I haven't heard it being passed up to the meter.
4 minutes away now. This is Apollo Control, Houston, standing by.
They certainly must have it. Everybody is watching and planning and moving in that direction. I think the go came quite early. The astronauts, Conrad Bean, apparently had the spacecraft Intrepid ready to go quite some time ago.
Well, they had more time for it since they did their second EVA earlier than planned, so they had plenty of time to get ready for this.
3 minutes and 10 seconds now. 3 minutes and 10 seconds now from liftoff. Countdown clock continuing to tick down. 142 hours since liftoff into space from Cape Kennedy. And an exciting period on the moon for Pete Conrad and Al Bean.
Mark, 3 minutes from liftoff.
Hello, Houston. Intrepid is up back. How do you read?
Loud and clear, Pete.
Roger. Checklist is complete. Standing by for 6-2.
Roger.
Pete Conrad reporting they have completed their checklist. We're at 142 hours, 1 minute.
The communication from Conrad is not quite as loud and clear as it was during their exploration of the moon up to 7 hours ago. He was rather quiet in his comment, too. They, again, are in their spacesuits for this liftoff, using the internal connections, oxygen system, and communication system of the lunar module Intrepid. The spacecraft sitting right on the edge of the crater in which is located
Mark
the Surveyor 3.
2 minutes.
Pete and Al. Pete and that's Dick Gordon.
Roger, Clipper. Intrepid Clipper's watching you.
Howdy, Yankee Clipper.
Clipper's looking at him.
Okay, here we good.
Clipper's watching him through a telescope, monocular sight or sextant instrument. One minute and nine seconds to go until liftoff.
Bye-bye, Mark, Yankee Clipper. It'll be 1 minute. Mark, 1 minute. Master arm is on.
That's Pete Conrad saying 1 minute to go.
Got it.
We're listening to the spacecraft Intrepid preparing to lift off from the moon. We're bringing you this worldwide through the Voice of America. 41 seconds. Thirty seconds.
Average speed, 48 knots. All we like is pro, and then after we start.
Bean and Conrad talking to each other.
Looking good, Pete.
12 seconds. 10.
10 seconds.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Lift off. And away we go.
Away we go. Yawing a bit. He looks good.
Looking good.
Intrepid Houston, copy ignition. Guidance looks good.
Everything looks good according to...
316 feet above the lunar surface.
100 meters up.
Boy, you sure did quiet. I don't know what.
1,600 kilograms of thrust.
30 seconds
left for liftoff now. You're listening to Conrad.
1,594 feet above the lunar...
Some 500 meters
on
up.
On our way. And 1 minute, y'all right 20 feet. Okay.
They pitched over.
Velocity building up now, 264 feet per second.
Velocity building up, as you heard John McLeish say. That's the voice of Pete Conrad there.
Coming up
off.
On 1 minute.
This program looks good.
Intrepid Houston, looking good at 1 minute.
Pitch program looks good, says Conrad.
We've got right 20. Keeping right down the pipe. Okay. What a nice. Pressures look good, Pete. What a nice ride. RCS right in there.
It's Conrad reporting they're going right down the pike.
Yeah, right smooth. It's a good run.
Looks good. You hear
1+30.
1+30, says Pete. They're watching the instruments, watching the guidance system.
Presently 9,000 feet above the lunar surface.
Some 3,000 meters up.
Okay, just changes.
They've got to go up 17 kilometers, another 15 kilometers.
Velocity now 850 feet per second.
Picking up speed constantly. The ascent propulsion system working just as designed. This ascent engine has less than 100 moving parts in it. It's very reliable.
Houston, go at 2.
Go at 2 minutes, comes the word from mission control.
2 minutes, 10 seconds, looking good.
Tracking, watching all of the instrument data also. Telemetry back to Earth. 2 minutes, 22 seconds since ignition. About another 5 minutes to go. This is a 7 minute burn, over 7 minutes, about 7:10.
7 minutes and 30 seconds. Looking at 1373, 187, climbing out at 19,700.
That's Pete climbing out at 19,700 feet.
At flight level 640 for flight level 600.
He's asking for an IFR clearance. Jerry Carr gives him an aviation turn, squawk 2-1. That's a transponder code.
Coming up on 3 minutes.
That's a little, bit of inside information among instrument pilots.
1752, 194, climbing out of 25,000.
Climbing out of 25,000, still within aviation terms. And just lift off from the surface.
Say again, Dick.
Dick would like you to transmit on VHF.
Dick wants him to change.
Range
their...
to go now, 137 nautical miles.
Dick is watching this in a telescope. He wants them to transmit on VHF so he can hear them.
3 minutes and 30 seconds now.
3:30, says Pete, reading off his clock.
2,130 feet per second, climbing 193, and we're at a 31,600.
Okay. 10,000 meters up.
Camera went off sometime after liftoff. I hope he's got the outfit.
They're moving at about 3,400 kilometers per hour
now.
Wonder
why we got the master alarm. I never did see him. He
said,
everything looks good.
Wonder why we got
you're looking good at 4.
He got a master alarm light, but it indicated
Mark,
there was no trouble.
4 minutes, 8 seconds. Now traveling 2,400 feet per second.
Oh, look at that rill down there.
Looking out the window, he sees a deep rill. Below
him. Part of Landsberg, I think, there on the left.
He thinks it's part of Crater Landsberg. They do take off over that area.
But the camera stopped again.
Doing liftoff.
Mark, 4:30.
Another 3 minutes to go.
2,954 feet. This is a hot machine. 173, climbing out of 14,800. That's happy. Okay.
Some 42,000 feet up now, according to Pete's readings. Yankee Clipper, orbiting overhead. Everything looks good, says Pete.
Okay, you got a big job now. Don't forget the ascent.
The rate that I'm thinking about it, lift it off.
Okay. 5 minutes. Mark, 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Four,
you heard a chuckle from Conrad.
47,000.
Intrepid Houston, you're looking good at five. The Harbor Master has cheered you into the main channel.
Harbor Master has cleared you into the main channel. Back to a Navy term now. The boat
really
moving into the channel.
Now over 49,000 feet in altitude.
Some 15 kilometers up now.
Eight, five plus 30.
A couple of kilometers farther in altitude, but they're almost horizontal to the surface now, so they won't pick up too much more altitude.
3,800 feet per second.
Okay. 4,000.
3,800 feet per second. They're moving about 4,160 kilometers per hour now. Almost to orbital velocity for the moon. Almost to the height.
6 minutes.
Almost to the height needed. 1 more minute to go in the burn. 6 minutes now.
6 minutes.
There was...
6 minutes, 43, 82.
That was Al Bean confirming that also.
Right now,
using program 12 in the LIM computer, that's the takeoff computer program. He's talking about going to program 16 or noun 16, something. He's going to change entry into the computer. That was Al Bean.
57,000 feet in altitude.
57,000 feet in altitude. About 16 kilometers up.
Wow, we're really smoking along. 475,
439, 400, 5,000 feet per second in velocity.
Okay, main shutoff open. Okay, open they go.
Coming up on 7 minutes.
Velocity's up to 5,400 kilometers an hour now.
Looking good at 70.
You just opened. Okay. Have you set the board stage? Okay.
Approaching that 17 kilometers
above
the Earth.
We've had shutdown.
Engine shutdown on time. They are undoubtedly in orbit now. They are some 17 kilometers above the surface, moving at orbital velocity over 5,000 kilometers per hour.
Everything looks okay.
Everything looks okay, says Al Bean. This now will put them in an orbit. They're at the low point in that orbit, at orbital insertion, some 17 kilometers above the Earth. Now, as they swing around behind the moon, they'll go up to 80 kilometers above the Earth, and we'll have another maneuver, which we'll describe. Al Bean sees a big ray on one of the crater, from a large crater coming out below them.
Okay, does that look satisfactory to you?
Looks good, Pete. We copied your overburn, and we see your trimming now.
Okay, I took it all out. I got interested in this.
Houston, Clipper, still no
VHF from Clipper. Shut off valve A.
Yankee Clipper calling, still doesn't read him on the radio.
Recycled it twice, and it said, shut off both admin feed and left the crossfeed open.
Pete had a slight overburn of the rocket because he was watching something else. Yankee Clipper cut in just as he was telling us what he was watching. Pete explained it. He's now correcting the overburn with maneuvering thrusters. Going through another checklist, a post-burn checklist.
This is Houston. Push your engine stop push button.
Yeah. Get her.
You
bet
an instruction from the Earth.
Okay,
that's Jerry Carr, the capsule communicator, another astronaut and flyer, so you'll hear naval and aviation terms very often between these men.
All three data sources show go.
Clipper, Houston, we're setting up the relay now.
Setting up voice relay.
I wonder why he's not transmitting VHF.
Gordon asking why he's not already transmitting VHF so he can hear him. Why Pete is not transmitting in a communications mode that Gordon can hear in the command module.
You heard that report. There was a little bit of an overburn, trimmed out very nicely, however. We're at one.
Houston, Clipper is not reading a VHF. We're configuring for Miss Finn relay now.
A got a hunch they didn't turn on the VHF. That's one of the transmitters in the lunar module. Apparently, they may not have pushed the right button there in order for Dick Gordon to hear them. This is an optional thing. It would just be nice for Dick up above to be able to hear if he could. He was tracking them, watching them. He's been able to spot them there on the surface of the moon as he orbited overhead since the second revolution of the flight. The second revolution of the command module after touchdown, after Intrepid touchdown. They corrected the overburn, the slight overburn, as you heard.
And Intrepid, Yankee Clipper, how do you read Houston now? We're in the relay mode.
This is a communications mode back through Earth.
Hello, Yankee Clipper, Intrepid, how do you read?
There, they can hear each other now.
Intrepid, did you read Clipper's answer?
That, yeah, I read him.
That's being relayed through the Earth. Each spacecraft is transmitting back to Earth, and the voice is being relayed from the Earth back to the other spacecraft. That means moving almost 1,000,000 kilometers from one spacecraft to another. And there's a 2-second time delay in sound coming from the moon to here, to Earth, and then there would be 2 seconds for it to go back. So there may be some distinctive pauses if they try to talk to each other, Intrepid and Yankee Clipper.
Preliminary numbers would show an orbit of 47 nautical miles by 9 nautical miles, very close to nominal. We're at 142 hours, 16 minutes, and now to the flight.
Very close to nominal orbit. The spacecraft Intrepid, the lunar module, the ascent stage, the top portion, now beginning to swing up around the left side of the moon as we look at it from the Earth toward this 80-kilometer-high apogee in its slightly egg-shaped orbit of the moon. When it gets to that apogee,
Intrepid,
then
Houston,
we'll have
looks
maneuver.
Like you got a 47 by 8.8, over.
Roger.
47 nautical miles at apogee in the vicinity of 80 kilometers. Pete asks, what were we targeting for? We'll hear the answer from Jerry Carr in a moment, if you heard that request.
Clipper, Houston, give us poo and accept. We have a limb state vector for you.
Okay, Houston, you got it.
Roger, on the way.
Sending some computer data up on poo and accept. That means program 00 in an accept mode. That was the Yankee Clipper. On a limb state vector, telling Yankee Clipper where the limb is, so that he can begin, Dick Gordon, some of the preliminary tracking maneuvers which he must follow in order to help achieve rendezvous. Now, from here on, Dick Gordon in the Yankee Clipper will be able to perform reverse or mirror image maneuvers, should they be necessary, in order to go rescue the limb. The limb is the active spacecraft at this point. Conrad and Bean are to use the thrusters aboard the Intrepid, the ascent stage of the lunar module, in order to go to Yankee Clipper. But if something should fail on the Intrepid, Yankee Clipper can come to them. So now there are redundant modes.
Apollo Control, Houston, 142 hours, 18 minutes now into the flight. A preliminary look at the burn status would indicate an overburn of some 1.5 seconds, which was trimmed out by Commander Pete Conrad as he was removing his residuals from the burn. We're at 142 hours, 18 minutes, and this is Apollo Control, Houston.
That announcement from Apollo Control, John McLeish is our mission commentator at the moment. Jerry Carr, the capsule communicator, Pete Conrad and Al Bean are now in lunar orbit and well within reach of the command module, Yankee Clipper. We'll report more to you from Houston momentarily.
You're listening to the Voice of America's continuous coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. We'll be back with more descriptions of Intrepid's maneuvers as she joins the Yankee Clipper. But right now, let's go to the VOA Voice of America newsroom.
The Intrepid, with moon explorers Charles Conrad and Alan Bean at the controls, has just lifted safely off the moon. The crew reports that the liftoff is going as planned. During their 32-hour stay on the lunar surface, Conrad and Bean twice ventured out of the Intrepid to explore the nearby lunar landscape. They set up 5 major scientific experiments and retrieved parts of the nearby American Surveyor 3 moon probe, which has been on the moon, and rocks and dust for study by scientists on Earth. A Nigerian Airways plane with as many as 85 people believed aboard has crashed near Lagos on a scheduled flight from London. Correspondent Fred Brown reports from Lagos that there were no survivors. London reports say that many of those aboard the plane were Nigerian Airways personnel. In Paris, the 43rd session of the Vietnam talks is underway. In advance of the meeting, Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge said he planned to renew the long-standing American offer to discuss the release of prisoners. The Austrian Defense Ministry says a Polish airliner has been hijacked to Austria. The plane is carrying an unknown number of passengers. Japanese Prime Minister Eisaku Sato and President Nixon will go into a second round of talks within the hour. In the first session, the Japanese and American leaders discussed Okinawa. In Latin America, Chile's armed forces are on a state of alert in Santiago province, which includes the capital. The Chilean president, Eduardo Frei, says he's determined to crush any attempt to subvert the government. And in Helsinki, the United States and the Soviet Union continued their preliminary talks on strategic arms limitation. This was their second working session. That's the news in brief. John Cooley reporting.
This is the Voice of America broadcasting the flight of Apollo 12. Bill Land, what is the command module pilot doing about this time?
Norm, right now he's quite busy, and his basic job at this moment is to keep track of where the lunar module is, ensure that his computer has the updated state vector, which was just sent up to him, and that is inserted correctly into the computer so that he'll know at all times electronically as well as possibly visually where the lunar module is, such that he can conduct a rescue should the lunar module be unable to perform any further maneuvers. Now, he's in a very good position to do this. All he would have to do is the same type of maneuver that is scheduled for the lunar module, but do it in a reverse order, point in the other direction and conduct the same a change in velocity, but in an opposite direction to rendezvous with the lamp.
Now, correct me if I am wrong. Is this the mirror image we talked about?
That's what we call a mirror image, because it's just exactly in the opposite direction with exactly the same change in velocity of what would be performed on the lunar module to conduct the normal rendezvous. As you can see, on the normal rendezvous, coming up next would be the concentric sequence initiation, which is a technical way of saying a circularizing the orbit. And that will be done by the lunar module to put it in an orbit that is concentric, right inside and the same size, a smaller size, but inside the orbit of the command module. Now, should they be unable to perform that maneuver, the command module would do an opposite maneuver, just exactly the same maneuver in the opposite direction, which would then put it in an orbit that would be the same as the elliptical type orbit that the lunar module is in. And from that point on, he would continue to conduct opposite type maneuvers until he rendezvoused with the lunar module in its present orbit.
Now, well, the two spacecraft are talking to each other now. I think they have hooked up their local VHF communications mode. They can now talk.
I'm supposed to be on breathing right now. I'm supposed to be transmitting on A.
That's Dick Gordon. talking about which transmitter Pete is supposed to be using in the lunar module for him to hear him.
They were just on the wrong channel, it sounds like.
Yeah. Apparently they were on, had the wrong channel punched up. They, the two of them were not together on which one of their many modes they're using. There are so many modes on here for prime and backup purposes that they have to clarify them among themselves when they punch up one. They probably are getting the rendezvous radar. The reason for beginning to communicate directly is so they can initiate this rendezvous radar between the two of them.
It's Apollo Control, Houston, at 142 hours, 25 minutes into the flight. The Mission Control Center does plan to pass up an update pad for a concentric sequence, initiate the first maneuver and rendezvous prior to loss of signal. We presently show 4 minutes and 30 seconds before loss of signal on the command module Yankee Clipper, and 5 minutes 40 seconds on the lunar module.
The lunar module is trailing behind Yankee Clipper a bit at this point, then, since Yankee Clipper is going to go out of sight behind the moon a bit ahead of the Intrepid. Pete just said very good to some remark. I believe that was from Al Bean inside the spacecraft he's in. They have. You heard John McLeese say they would send up a pad. That means load into the computer some tracking information before concentric sequence initiation, before the end of the, before we lose signal with them, so that the lunar module will know better how to perform this maneuver in getting closer to the limb. The tracking stations on Earth tracking both spacecraft, and this data being refined to come up with the maneuver pad or the maneuver instructions to be given to Intrepid. Yankee Clipper copies these down and then prepares for mirror image maneuver.
351 feet a second at 200 miles.
He's reading his rendezvous radar 200 miles away from Yankee Clipper, according to Pete. That was Conrad reading off his radar.
What is the general range?
Clipper.
I concur.
Clipper concurs.
Yeah, just starting
P20. Starting
that was
program 20.
Pete Conrad reporting to Dick Gordon the range and range rate readings he had on his onboard display.
He's reading this out of the display instrument, the keyboard, after the computer onboard Intrepid has processed the radar information. Another 2 minutes until Yankee Clipper goes behind the moon, 3 minutes, 40 seconds until we lose Intrepid. Then they will be on their own, and concentric sequence initiation, this circularizing maneuver, will occur behind the moon about 30 minutes from now. We are keeping up the air-to-ground loop so that we may hear any conversation between the astronauts, the spacecraft, and Mission Control. Another 2 minutes, 1 minute, 58 seconds now until loss of signal from Yankee Clipper. They apparently do have that direct communications or VHF mode connected between the two spacecraft. A little earlier, you heard us mention that they were talking to each other back through the Earth. That's a million kilometers of radio distance. Now they're about 400 kilometers apart, just under 400 kilometers apart, communicating directly. 1 minute, 27 seconds until...
In Mission Control Center, Houston, we're presently reading a range of 198 nautical miles between the two spacecraft and a range rate of minus 331 feet per second.
Range rate of minus 300...
We're now at 142 hours, 28 minutes into the flight.
Intrepid, we're going to go over to Omni now.
Roger, Intrepid.
Intrepid's going over to omnidirectional antennas. 55 seconds until we lose Yankee Clipper. In communication...
Intrepid, Houston, you're about 45 seconds from LOS.
I think he meant to say
Intrepid,
Yankee Clipper.
Intrepid, Houston, we'll see you at 143.16.
Sounds like LOS a little early from one of the spacecraft.
Intrepid Houston, your CSI Delta V is going to be about 46.5, over.
I believe we've lost the Yankee Clipper. Intrepid, there was one more bit of communication telling him what the delta velocity would be.
Apollo Control Houston, that was Jerry Carr passing up the delta V for the first rendezvous maneuver. That was 46.5 feet per second. We managed to get it up in the nick of time just prior to Intrepid making its backside pass around the moon.
We've got LOS on the Clipper, and we'll see him at 13.
That was LOS on Clipper. Intrepid, still a few seconds. That's Intrepid, still in communication.
Your AOS time is 143.16.
Half a minute until he's gone now.
It's nominal. Roger, nominal in the flight plan.
Acquisition of signal just as in the flight plan.
Intrepid Houston, go low bit rate.
15 seconds until we should lose Intrepid. Command module Yankee Clipper already 1 minute out of touch with the Earth. There it goes. Loss of signal with the lunar module Intrepid. Both spacecraft are now on their own as they go behind the moon. We'll get a comment from Mission Control any moment now, I believe.
Apollo Control Houston, 142 hours, 31 minutes. We've had loss of signal with both spacecraft, both Intrepid and Yankee Clipper, passing above the backside of the moon.
We should acquire signal at about 143 hours, 13 minutes, some 40 minutes from now. And by that time, Pete and Dick... Pete and Al, Pete Conrad and Al Bean, should have performed their maneuver concentric sequence initiation to circularize their orbit some 80 kilometers above the lunar surface to keep them up at that altitude, just about 20 kilometers below Yankee Clipper. Slightly behind Yankee Clipper. Since they are below and behind in a lower orbit, as they go around the moon, they will seem to go just a bit faster, like a horse on the inside track in a racetrack, and they will gradually catch up. And then there will be other maneuvers for the final rendezvous. Bill Land, Norm Guerin, do you have any comments there?
Bill Land, we heard the term overburn. This is not a serious problem. Is it easy to compensate for?
Well, this overburn that they had was just a matter of a few feet per second, and it was very easy to correct. We might mention here that all the maneuvers from here on, including that correction of the overburn, are performed with the reaction control system rather than the ascent propulsion system, which took them off the surface of the moon. The ascent propulsion system burns only one time, much like a launch vehicle again, and when it was shut down, it was used, that was the final time it would be ignited. All maneuvers now are with the reaction control system, and yes, they were able to take that overburn out very easily. Now, if we had had a long overburn, that would have been a problem, but the crew is watching, and they would have cut it off manually if they had had that type of problem.
And the ascent statistics for Apollo 12 are much the same as for Apollo 11. Is that correct?
The rendezvous maneuvers are you
yes.
talking about? Yes, Norm, they're identical to the ones we used on Apollo 11. This is a classical type of sequence that we go through for a rendezvous, one that's been demonstrated many times, both in Earth orbit and now in lunar orbit. This will be, what, the third time in lunar orbit that this has been performed.
Red Turner mentioned the rendezvous radar system a moment ago, and the system is the primary method of navigating the lunar module back to the command module in orbit, Yankee Clipper. Dick Fenner is radar subsystem manager for Project Apollo at the Manned Spacecraft Center, and Rhett Turner asked him to describe the rendezvous radar.
Would you tell me how it works and a little more about it?
Well, the rendezvous radar is a device very similar to a radar systems that are used by aircraft in the United States Air Force, that one in particular is used for rendezvous of fighters for refueling. The rendezvous radar is a what is called a monopulse radar. It's a device that's used in essence to measure range and range rate between two vehicles in movement, either spacecraft and or aircraft. In this case, it'll be the lunar module trying to rendezvous or catch up with the command and service module.
Now, all of the active equipment for this particular radar is on board the LM, isn't it?
Well, that's not exactly so. This is a radar, but not a radar in the sense that people are perhaps familiar with radar. Radar was developed in the original and in the 1930s to detect aircraft in flight, and as such, the radar waves were reflected off the surface of the aircraft. This radar system is called a cooperative radar system, in which we have a beacon or transponder, in this case in the command and service module, which cooperates with the radar when says and transmits a signal back to the lunar module upon command. So in such, it's called a cooperative radar system.
Would it be fair to say that the radar on the lunar module asks a question and that the radar transponder on the command module answers the question?
That's very true. That's a very good description.
Then what does it do? How is this information used?
Well, the range rate information and what we call line of sight angle, and this perhaps take a diverge a minute and tell you and try to explain what line of sight angle is. If we imagine ourselves looking straight ahead and something appeared off of to our right, level with our eyes would move to the right and focus on that object without our head moving. Now, a line of sight angle is the angle in degrees between the direction where we were looking and the direction we see the new object to our right. This is called line of sight angle. And in essence, it's the angle between the direction that the lunar module is moving and the target that the radar is tracking. Mm-hmm. In degrees, this information, range rate, and line of sight angle are fed into the guidance system and used to compute what is called delta V, or the amount of velocity correction used to achieve a rendezvous.
This will be absolutely necessary, this unit, this rendezvous radar unit, in order for Apollo pilots to bring the LM back to the command module. This is the primary method, is that right?
Yes, if you want to leave it as primary now. There's actually several methods that can be used to achieve rendezvous. The primary system is the rendezvous radar in conjunction with the guidance system on the lunar module. However, certainly we would not want to attempt to go out and do a rendezvous without a backup system. There are other backup modes, one of which involves the use of radar information from radars tracking on the ground. There is a, so to speak, dead reckoning system that the astronauts can use themselves that allows them to rendezvous. But the prime rendezvous system, the one which has the greatest possibility of achieving rendezvous with the minimum of fuel consumption, it does involve the rendezvous radar and the guidance system.
Thank you very much for explaining it to us. Dick Fenner, the radar subsystems manager for Project Apollo. This is Rhett Turner in Houston.
Bill Land, do you have anything to add to the rendezvous radar and its backup systems?